Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
This ball hit high and well into left center field, sending Baddoo all the way back, and Pena hits one by the home run pump. Jeremy Pena, that ball kept going in left center. Hits number 6 on the year, and the Astros now lead 2-0.
All right, we're rolling along on a Friday. That was in the 5th inning last night as the Astros took down the Detroit Tigers game 1 of a 4-game series. The rookie Jeremy Pena adding on to the lead, giving the Astros a 2-0 lead, and they would go on to win that game.
Yes. Go baseball.
Go baseball. 1 month in.
I would like it to be less stressful, so hopefully next time out Ryan Pressly is a little bit better. That was a pitch you could tell. He was like, ah, damn it. As soon as he threw it, he just goes to the side and put essentially his body in a pretzel, looking away from it and watching that leave the yard. Yeah, he yacked that bad boy.
Game-tying home run for the Tigers in the 9th, and that was on the hands of Ryan Pressly. He talked a little bit about, now we're giving him some grace because he came back from an injury, right? But the Astros were still able to get it done thanks to Kyle Tucker and a walk-off.
Mm-hmm.
Nice game for the Astros.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, you just got to continue to stack up all these victories, and coming off of a sweep of the Seattle Mariners, keep on adding and adding and adding so that things will look relatively more normal by the time we get to the middle of the year. And of course, you got some ground to make up when it comes to a team like New York, who is off to a great start this season. And I'm looking forward to whenever that series actually takes place, but I think it's a long way away. I haven't taken a look at the schedule to see like the next time the Astros play a good team, but it's nice to play bums like the
they
Tigers.
They do play the Twins after the Tigers.
Oh.
So if Carlos Correa is on that Twins team, which as of now, because he got injured, he got injured yesterday, got hit twice, and gets, I believe, a CT scan today. So Correa may not be
Astros
on that Twins
better sweep
team.
That whole series now. No, Carlos Correa, there's just no excuse. You got to win every single game.
Yeah, the Astros will have maybe a tough one with the Twins, and then they face the Nationals after that. So we're 1 month into the season. We're, of course, giving superlatives throughout the day. We talked about the last segment. We talked about some of the more surprising guys that have surprised us. Justin Verlander, Jeremy Pena, gave out batting grades. We're going to be doing that as we are progress reports as we continue throughout the season. Yordan Alvarez, naughty mistake yesterday.
Naughty.
A little bit of a naughty mistake. Thought he hit the walk-off, was really excited, admired it for a little bit too long, and ended up costing them. Dusty Baker said immediately after the game he wasn't mad at Yordan Alvarez, said he learned a valuable life lesson. Baseball teaches you life lessons was, I believe, the exact quote. Were you mad at Yordan Alvarez? Because I got to tell you, the boomers on Twitter were not happy.
No, they weren't thrilled about it. I think a lot of people weren't thrilled about it. I do like that you called him naughty, too. Yordan.
Oh, okay. Well.
You're naughty. Hey, Yordan. Sorry, I can't help it.
He went there.
I have to go there. Like, it's my job.
I do understand.
It's my job to go there.
It says on the rundown, Alvarez with a naughty mistake.
I didn't write that either. I did not write that.
I didn't want to be too mean and say that it was, like, egregious.
Boy, Yordan. You've been so bad. Hey, Yordan.
You act like I'm wearing, like, school teacher clothing and asking him to stay after class.
I am not doing any of those things. Don't give our horned-up Twitch audience something else to be thinking about right now. No, I don't want to take it further sexually. No, Vanessa, I'm just saying that is written down in the show rundown.
Yordan with a slight mistake yesterday that could have cost the Astros the game.
I like the naughty
but didn't.
Okay. I'm trying to think. What else would we consider naughty in baseball? Look, this is one of those ones where people consistently talk about it, where, hey, you got to run out to first base. I get pissed off when I see a guy and it's a ground ball and he's not sprinting down the line like a crazy person. But I guess that's how someone like Jose Altuve can pop a hamstring. So maybe maybe you aren't supposed
pros
to just,
cons.
Just go all out to run it out to first base.
Bust it down the line.
Yeah. 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 Well, I mean, Sean, that's what we all want. Am I wrong in wanting these things, like, all the time, at least when it comes to that? Because the home run, I get it. Like, you thought the game was over, and you got a little cocky.
And here's the thing. When it does work out, those make for some awesome moments. Do you guys remember last season when Carlos Correa pointed to his watch?
Ooh.
And it became like a thing?
But it actually was out of the park.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
When it
you
works,
know.
When it works and when they know, those moments can become really, really nice. But he didn't have the confirmation that it was indeed a run, and he gave the attitude.
To me, it's surprising it doesn't happen more often.
Mm.
That, like, how can they tell the difference between a 360-foot shot and a 310-foot shot?
Because, right, the fans sure as hell can't. I mean, how often do you see fans
every single,
like, whoa!
Well, the announcers who have, I mean, like, Todd Callis has watched baseball for probably decades and decades, and every announcer, every play-by-play guy is like, going, and it's out of here. You know, so they don't even know.
Well, John Sterling doesn't do that.
Yeah, John Sterling has reached the other side where he's watched it for now centuries, and he can't tell anything anymore.
It's gone! John, that was a pop-out to third base. Uh-oh.
God, that audio was wicked last week. I felt so bad for him.
A Stantonian pop-out to third base.
Go ahead, Sean.
I just love John Sterling. And
yeah.
I love the confused grandpa part afterwards where he's like, why is he stopped at first? Oh, because it was a single, John.
I know he's the Yankees broadcaster, but
pat him on the head.
I legitimately love John Sterling. I think that those calls are so corny and goofy, but they're fun. Like, he's having fun out of the ballpark. There's so many people on the radio broadcast that are just boring as hell. And I'm like, hey, can we please get more John Sterlings out there? Especially now that you don't know if anything he says is right. You're like you're listening to Memento with Guy Pearce while you're watching.
It's an unreliable narrator what you have as your baseball play-by-play.
Well, and think about if you're one of the people that actually is just listening to the audio, because he's radio, right?
Yeah.
So what if you are
your car?
Right. Like, if you're actually one of the people that's going old school and can't watch it because you're in that New York commute at rush hour or whatever, I mean, you have no idea.
You're
you
on
are
the edge
relying
of your seats.
On John Sterling to tell you.
Instead of, like, you know, having it as background noise, you're on the edge of your seats. Is Susan Waldman going to come in? Actually, John, that was a pop out to third base, John!
Meanwhile, AJ Hinch, of course, now manager of the Detroit Tigers, was in town. He's come in town since the scandal happened, so this wasn't huge, but he was asked if that Yankees letter and the revelations made him feel, quote-unquote, vindicated. Here was Hinch's response.
I didn't really think anything of it, to be honest. I mean, I lived it, so I don't really need anyone to rehash it or talk about it or ask me questions about it. I mean, it's an era that you know, all of us are well aware of, so I had no reaction to it. Still consider our mistakes. Obviously, I'm sorry for being involved at all in any capacity, and I should have been a better leader to the fans, to the players, to the coaches, to the organization, to baseball. I've continued to apologize, and I don't need a Yankees letter to make me feel any different.
All right, that was AJ Hinch. Here's why people have continued to like AJ Hinch, among other things, is because he just says things like that, and I actually believe him. He's not one of those guys that says, oh, it doesn't bother me, but then you know it's really eating him alive. He really legitimately seems not to care, but then he follows it up, and here's a strategy when you are dealing with something. It's like you also apologize. At the end, he says, I'm always going to be sorry for the mistakes that I made. So it's not like people can say he's not taking accountability for the cheating scandal. He is. He's just saying the Yankees letter didn't matter to him.
And ultimately, it didn't matter to anyone except for, I think, fans of the Astros, because
a few select Twitter yellers.
You just wanted people to acknowledge that it wasn't just one team doing things like this. Maybe one team was doing it to an advanced degree compared to everybody else. Like, hey, we're going to cheat. Let's do it right.
Right.
And you know what? I respect that commitment, because it got us a World Series that has not been taken away, you know? Like, that's the best part about it. It's never going anywhere. But I think a lot of people just wanted, hey, can we get at least some acknowledgement that it's not just the Astros who are doing this BS? And the letter is further acknowledgement of it. And some players have also said that, too. Like, it was going on across the sport.
Oh, players from probably half the franchises.
But people don't want to ever hear it, because people just love to look at somebody who has stepped out of bounds and point at them for stepping out of bounds. And they don't want it because everyone lives in a glass house.
Right. Speaking of people that step out of bounds and deserve to be banned from the game forever, next segment we're talking about Tom Brady and his social media usage. That's next on Vanessa and Gallant.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
Listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, we're talking Tom Brady. Not necessarily my favorite subject, but he is almost always relevant in every single way. So,
well, because yes, he is always with us. He is always for us.
He's not God. That's God you're talking about.
You're
supposed to be talking about God.
My religion.
Your religion.
It's 2022.
Do you identify as a Tom Brady lover?
I identify as believing that Tom Brady is Lord and my Savior, my personal Lord and Savior.
One of the things that Tom Brady has done really well among many things over the last couple of years is kind of changed his brand to being more fun. He's on all the social media pages, including what the kids love, TikTok. And he made one off of a Justin Bieber trend, which was like, tell me something you don't know or something like that. So we're going to play the TikTok for you guys right now.
New trend alert. Tell me something honest.
Tuck rule game against the Raiders.
Might have been a fumble.
So obviously this caused people to go crazy on the internet. So Tom Brady had to do some damage control and said on Twitter that the refs probably made the right decision after this. But got a rise out of people for sure.
My client never said anything that incriminates him there. He's merely looking at the replay and saying that it might have been a fumble. It also might not have been a fumble.
I said might. This is the tweet. I said might. Such a tough call.
Yeah.
No choice but to respect the officials' probably correct decision.
The refs probably made the correct decision. Listen, you could say that this is Tom Brady falling on the sword. I choose to believe it's Tom Brady trolling the Raiders, who deserve to be trolled because they got away with some BS in 1976 with a bogus roughing the passer call. Sugar Bear Hamilton, never forget. I wasn't alive for that. I don't care. It is funny that Brady does these things now, though, and where he is a little cheeky compared to the way that he used to be, which was, I think,
uptight,
like all those players on the Patriots. They just never talked to anybody.
Obnoxious. Well,
not fun publicly.
Yeah.
I mean,
you think he was fun behind the scenes? Because from
yes,
what
he's an everyman.
No.
Tom Brady is the epitome of every man in the locker room. He actually was friends with every single player on that
team.
Right,
but he was like UGG wearing and really strict diet.
What's wrong with wearing UGGs? They're comfy shoes.
If you're a guy, a lot.
Why?
What do you mean, why?
Why is it wrong?
Because it's just not my thing,
I guess. Why is that?
Paul is Metro. Hashtag breaking.
Oh, you want to hear something funny?
Style. Yeah, what's up?
Okay, so this actually took place last weekend. Don't laugh too hard at this. But so I'm wearing one of my Hawaiian shirts.
Naturally.
Wearing short shorts.
Naturally.
It's a hot day. It's 90 degrees, and I was outside at a block party. So anyway, minding my own business. There's a couple of houses having parties, and this girl comes up to me, and I'm a little excited. She's cute. I'm thinking to myself, all right, well, let's see where this goes. And she says, hey, can you come over here for a second? And I was like, okay. And she gave me a camera, and she said, can you take a picture of us? So I thought to myself, why do you have a guy taking a picture? I actually said this to her. I was like, why do you want a guy to take a picture of you? Mm-hmm. Like, randomly a guy. And then they said, oh, well, we think that you would take the best picture here. So I put the phone down and I walked away. I put the phone down and I walked away, and my friends killed me for the next, hour. I was crushed, heartbroken.
Our producer, Sean, is, crying.
This is the equivalent of wearing UGGs. Based off of what you're hinting at, that's what they thought.
They saw a well-dressed man in a Hawaiian shirt and short shorts, and they thought.
So you'd be good at, design.
Yeah.
Fashion. They thought that they could really trust you with their deepest, darkest secrets.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
But I knew
in that moment I could no longer take a good photo for them.
Right.
So you tanked the photo.
No, I literally just put the phone down on a trash can.
You didn't even take the photo.
No,
you protested.
I just slowly walked away. And one of my friends, he thought that that's why they came over to come get me. He said, no, they think he's someone who takes good photos. And then I came back and he said, yeah, I thought so, huh? So, yeah, that ruined my Saturday.
Yeah. Well.
So there's nothing wrong, though. You can't make assumptions based off of people wearing Uggs or an awesome Hawaiian shirt with nice shorts.
With short shorts.
Sorry, I showed a little bit of extra thigh.
But you also have to remember that you show chest, a little bit of chest, too.
What's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong. I'm just
saying. Tom Selleck could do it.
The combination of wearing flip-flops, short shorts, and a Hawaiian shirt where you show your chest is going to cause some women to think that you take really good pictures.
Yeah, you might get some mistaken identity. That's all we're saying.
This also happens. So everyone in Seattle dresses like a slob. So I'm once out at a bar watching a game, and I'm wearing button-down shirt, cowboy boots, like nothing crazy. Same thing. Wait, this person didn't ask me if I was good at taking photos.
Wait,
this
why were you wearing cowboy boots?
Why not?
Weird.
What's wrong with wearing cowboy boots?
Nothing.
I'm from Texas.
You're okay.
I'm appropriating Texas culture here, but I like cowboy boots. Whatever, they're fun. They make me 6 feet tall plus.
Were you wearing chaps too?
Right.
No, I was wearing assless chaps, so that might have been why they came at me like that. But yeah, they asked me this. They asked me the same thing. But this time, they didn't ask me if I was good at taking photos. They just direct, point blank, asked me it. And I don't know if they was trying to neg me so that they would, you know, like some sort of an opening line. But yeah, this happens to me a lot. I get persecuted for dressing well.
You do.
This is erroneous.
Erroneous.
Erroneous on all accounts.
I think my problem is like because I've gone out with guys that dress really, really well and like you and maybe like they would take a really good picture. And the problem is that I don't put a lot into my wardrobe. Like today I'm wearing a straight up Canadian tuxedo. So in that situation, the roles of traditional partnership are kind of reversed. You know what I mean?
Okay.
But I don't think I've ever been mistaken for a woman that rides a motorcycle.
I don't know. I would have thought that today.
Really?
You look like you ride a motorcycle. Why? What?
I look like...
Catwoman rides a motorcycle.
Yeah.
Catwoman rides a motorcycle in Batman. She's not... She would probably not wear a jean jacket.
She had a female roommate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, wait, yes. I look like...
She had a lot of cats.
I have a female roommate.
No, you look... You
every
look
now
Canadian.
And then I look like I have a female roommate, and you look like you take good pictures.
I think you look like you're Canadian.
And we look like we go to Lollapalooza and don't pay for a single drink between the two of us.
Well, you know what? See, and that's the best perk. But the problem is that you would actually get people not paying for your drinks, and that would never happen with me.
If you go to the right environment, absolutely it would.
You know what? Fair point.
The top merchandise sales came out for last year. The NFLPA released the information, and between the jerseys, the keychains, the hats, the everything, it was one Tom Brady. He leads most years, no matter what team he's playing for. So my question for you is when he actually retires, not fake retires for 2 months, when he actually retires, who do you think leads the NFL in merchandise sales? Who has that kind of brand?
Well,
because I don't think Aaron Rodgers is liked enough.
No. I mean, Patrick Mahomes has got to be close, but it has to be someone extremely exciting, young, gives off a different vibe if they're not going to be a guy who just wins all the time. Because that's the thing with Brady. You're buying a guy who wins all the time. You're essentially just like saying, like, I root for winners. I root for success, you know? So I would think Mahomes would be number one on the list. No one, I think, hates the Chiefs, but it has been enough years where the Chiefs have been good where I don't think there's as many people who like the Chiefs nationally these days.
If the Chiefs can win another Super Bowl, you could also maybe make, because Travis Kelce is so fun to watch and he has a great brand and personality, maybe Kelce gets in that conversation at some point.
I got it.
Who would it be?
If the Bills win a Super Bowl, Josh Allen.
Oh, yeah.
It's a cool jersey.
It's a great color scheme.
It's also, I think people... Right now, at least, seem to have a I-want-to-be-a-Bills fan feeling going on. Oh, they have so much fun. They get wasted. They jump through tables while they're on fire. Like, I think there's a vibe of I would like to be a Buffalo Bill. I actually know a friend of mine who is a Cowboys fan who has thought about buying a Bills jersey, and I think a Josh Allen jersey to be specific. So, there you go. I think that's the one, Josh Allen.
Can't read the text line right now.
Oh, yeah.
I almost did, and I just can't do it.
Why not?
Can you not read? Because of our previous... No, I can read. It's our previous... because of our previous conversation.
The conversation happens.
Roommates and whatnot.
Listen, we're open here.
Don't make assumptions about me or Paul. Although, you can make the assumption about one assumption. One of us make it about ball.
Sometimes.
You know who no one would mistake? Sean Mapes. Sean.
Yeah, because I'm not well-dressed.
No, or, I like it.
Or, I'll just say I dress like I am bad at taking pictures.
Traditionally masculine.
Should I dress sloppier? Serious question.
No, I think that you
No. Hang on. Serious question. Like, okay. You don't need to defend me here. Like,
okay.
This
okay.
is an
serious
actual question for
okay.
me going forward.
Gotcha.
Do I dress a little too flamboyant?
You dress flamboyant, but my answer is always going to be that it depends on the woman that you want to attract. Because there are a lot of women that like really well-dressed, almost metro-type wardrobes on guys.
Okay.
They do. So,
okay.
And look, I mean, if you're in Scottsdale and the weather is nice and you're chasing the honeys, maybe some of them like that.
I could not do this in Seattle. I really couldn't.
Absolutely not.
Everyone in Seattle's like,
is it more of grunge gray colors?
No, they just everyone wears hoodies and hats, and I'm like, wait, do you not care?
Is it that depressed?
Like, and I'm not talking about like, hey, it's one thing to wear it when you don't want anyone to see you, but like you're going out and everyone just like dresses like that. Like, hey, I have a gray hoodie. Oh, I have a black hoodie. Let's be friends. Yeah,
see, that would probably be a little bit more of my style because I wear a lot of black.
Okay, well then you like Seattle.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was getting. I was like, oh, so they all dress like me when it's cold.
Right.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
right.
Pretty much all the time though, like all year round.
Like, we
it
love
could be 70 degrees.
Same thing. We support your Hawaiian shirts.
Thank
on
you.
This show.
Thank you.
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, one NFL quarterback's family and those close to him think that he is maybe being set up. Plus, Astros progress report part dos. That's next.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real, fun sports. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Just got done playing in my softball game.
Yeah, you look like you just played some roller derby.
I have a little bit of a bloody nose right now. It seems to be stopping, but I have a napkin in my left nostril.
She's not doing that, you guys.
Super attractive. Yeah, people on Twitch are asking if I was going to the bathroom to have some drugs.
So subtle.
So now I know that you don't do drugs.
No.
Because you would have phrased it better.
Twitch.tv/ESPN97.5.
I've actually, other than weed, never even dipped into that.
So. Oh, wow. I'm not going down this.
I'm a lot more boring than people probably think.
I've already explained to people that some think that I lean another way. And, you know, maybe I do, maybe I don't. We're just going to leave that as a mystery.
No more revelations from Paulie today. I think Paul's going to keep it pretty close to the vest.
Yeah, from here on out. That's it. So,
Speaking of surprises, Baker Mayfield, maybe not a surprise that he is going to be on the move. He did take the Browns to their first playoff game in, 30 years?
Right.
But he, even though he played injured, a lot of people not happy with his attitude. You haven't heard a single teammate, it seems like, stick up for him. And now ESPN has a report that those, quote-unquote, close to Baker Mayfield wonder if the Browns sabotaged him.
The last 24 hours have featured a lot of team or camp Baker Mayfield getting their side of the story out, because you also had something, I think, from Jim Trotter, who also suggested that there was a lot of kind of backstabby stuff going on in the Browns locker room, where there were some players who were basically like acting as if they were completely removed from some of the things that took place. Like, remember the Odell Beckham Jr.'s dad posting a video where Mayfield missed or overthrew Beckham. Odell Beckham Jr. apparently never talked to Mayfield about it, even though they, quote, often played video games together and had vacationed in Montana with other teammates over Labor Day weekend. Apparently, an unnamed starter made the following comment when asked if he'd seen the video posted by Beckham's father. Why would I watch the video? I see it every day in practice. And yeah, that goes with the story that you're talking about. So I look at that and I wonder to myself, okay, well, if this is all happening, how does this end? Because No one's trading for him right now. The Seahawks basically said as much, and that's the only team you could say maybe would trade for him. The Steelers were the team rumored to be interested in him, but they just drafted a quarterback.
Sorry to interrupt, but Ian Rappaport had said last week that the Seahawks were no longer really interested.
Yeah. Yeah, and Pete Carroll basically acknowledged as such. So, like, just to totally confirm it, I guess, though Pete's been lying a little bit him this offseason, too.
Lying season.
So, where does he end up? Like, I think there's a chance he's still on the roster at the start of the year and that they're still paying him. And I wonder if now they're looking for whatever they can possibly find to, you know, not pay him the guaranteed salary he's due this season. Do something weaselly. Like, oh, well, remember when Baker Mayfield did this? That was conduct detrimental to the team. That's reason enough for termination.
I was going to say there's a gray area here. The article from ESPN, by the way, saying those close to Mayfield questioned the Browns specifically play calling at the end of the season and wondered at the time if the organization set the QB up to, quote, look as hapless as possible in prime time to prove why they would need a change in the offseason. I don't know that I agree with this because Baker Mayfield was injured, so I think that's part of the reason he had an issue in prime time. But do those close to him make a point in that from the reports we know that at the NFL Combine, this is according to Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport, the Browns, Andrew Berry apparently approached Baker Mayfield's team and said, we're going to keep Baker, we love Baker, unless Watson becomes available. So, I mean, I don't know that the Browns have really, quote-unquote, done right by Baker Mayfield.
No, they definitely haven't.
But Mayfield's also been a diva who I think I always go by if teammates are standing up for you, if they're putting their neck out on the line and nobody is for him.
It really does boil down to he wasn't playing good enough, but I think there's a very fair argument to be made that the Browns put him in a bad spot. And I would specifically point to Kevin Stefanski. Maybe this was the plan all along when they realized, okay, maybe the season isn't going where we want it to. That they thought to themselves, you know what? We're just going to let Baker Mayfield stay out here, even though he has got a busted shoulder. They had Case Keenum as a backup, expensive backup quarterback, and they chose to go with Baker Mayfield going forward. You could say, hey, well, that's on Baker Mayfield for trying to play through it. No, that's on the coaching staff for not stepping in where they're supposed to. Have some balls, Kevin Stefanski. I mean, that's your job. You're supposed to make these tough decisions. And when you're paying somebody that much money, like, did you have zero faith in Case Keenum or something like that? And maybe you did. And you know what? That's all you're right in the world as a head coach to feel that way. But that's what I couldn't figure out last year. Like, he was clearly hurt for a long time. Like, starting in week two where he tried to make that tackle on the interception that he threw against the Texans. And they just, like, left him out there. I don't know. He didn't play well. I don't think he's ever going to be the great quarterback that some thought he could be when he was drafted first overall. But I do think that there was an element of sabotage going on in Cleveland.
Let's talk about some Astros superlatives. We did this last segment, and we wanted your guys' input then. We want you guys' input now. Of course, you can hit us up on the text line, 713-780-ESPN. Paul, why don't you take us through this round of superlatives as we are a month into the Astros season?
Okay, well, so let's get to the progress report first. We did batting, pitching. What are you going to give them as a grade for pitching thus far? And I'll start off. Vanessa, I'm giving the Astros an A- for the pitching that we have seen to this point. And honestly, I feel like I probably should give an A, given that they've been doing this without Lance McCullers. If you take a look at just about every single key statistic when it comes to pitching, they are at fifth. Walks, hits per innings pitched, the Astros are fifth. Actual ERA, the Astros are fifth. They have done a hell of a job pitching thus far, and considering the Astros' offense, which I gave a D+, just based off of the expectations that you have attached to them with some of the guys that they have more than carried their weight during a slow start by the Astros offense. I, in fact, think that they are pitching, what is the term, ahead of their skis?
Ooh.
I'm not 100% sure if that's what it is, but I think that...
Over their skis.
Over their skis. Thank
I don't
you.
Ski. I've never been skiing.
I went skiing for the first time in 20 years last year, and I actually wasn't completely dumb, even though I hadn't gone since I was 8.
Is that a rich kid thing, going skiing?
Maybe.
It seems like a rich kid thing, because my friends and I like went to the lake and had bonfires. None of us were like going on ski.
Especially if you're from Texas, means you have to be going to Colorado.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And there's not really a lot of mountains in the Indiana, greater Indiana area, right?
There's not.
It's kind of flat, right? It's cornfields. You can ski through corn.
Yeah, we can.
So in the Northeast, like, we actually do have some mountains. So my parents met skiing. Now, so I don't think it's 100% like, hey, bougie, but it is a rather expensive sport to pick up.
Gotcha.
And yeah, if you're here and you're skiing, yeah, you're probably
over
rich.
Your skis.
Yeah, but anyway, I felt like they have been over, ahead, whatever, of their skis to this point, and it's good, and hopefully it will last. because the pitching's been good. And the pitching was good last year, too. But this has been a really great start considering they are missing one of their better arms again.
I'm going to give them an A as well. I think it obviously is that sliding scale. I think them losing Brent Strom and then Lance McCullers Jr. being injured. You know, I was not super confident in Justin Verlander being what he is and having the continued success. Look, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. But his age and all of that, his surgeries. So I give them an A just based on the fact that I didn't think that it was going to be this good.
And I'm glad you mentioned Brent Strom. I'm bumping it up to an A. I mean, no Brent, and this hasn't been even close to a problem for them. The pitching has carried them to this point of the year. And you hope that it will continue like this, but it's been damn good, you know? I mean, right now, it's pretty good luxury to have where Ryan Pressly is maybe the biggest pitcher that you're concerned about after giving him the extension.
Let's talk managing.
Oh, sorry, knee inflammation.
Let's talk about managing.
Okay. Well, listen, I'm just not a fan of all the off days that we have seen thus far. And I think that Dusty Baker's been making some weird decisions in the lineup. I know a lot of people that listen to the show really feel that way. So I'll give him a C. C is satisfactory. Ooh,
okay. I'm going to go with the B+. I am a believer, put my tinfoil hat on in some conspiracy theories. While I don't think James Click and Dusty Baker have beef, I have not heard that, and I don't think that. I do think that in almost every organization where you have an older manager, you have the young analytics guy in his 30s or 40s, the money ball, whatever, et cetera, et cetera. You guys know the deal.
He likes Klongdorp and Wump.
I think some of those decisions have not been Dusty Baker, and I think that he's been good for this clubhouse. You have older guys, you have younger guys, and I think that he handles that really well. Superlatives.
Okay, so we had biggest surprise.
We both said Jeremy Pena.
Correct.
For that one. And Sean Mapes added in Justin Verlander, which was a great call.
Best player.
Ooh.
I'm saying Verlander.
Yeah, it would probably by default have to be Justin Verlander because Jose Altuve has had a slump. Yordan Alvarez had a slump and also had some sickness for a while. Kyle Tucker had a slump. Carlos Correa is gone. You know, you could probably, if you want to talk about solid, I may go Michael Brantley.
You know what? That's a good alternative.
So I'm going to go Michael Brantley for the best player so far 1 month into the Astros season. Sean Mapes, what say you? We haven't asked. That's been my bad.
No, that's fine. I'll go with Yordan, actually, because he is OPS over 1,000, leads the team with 8 home runs. So he is hitting the heck out of the ball. It's just a little tough on the day after he hits the longest single possible. But
it was a really long single. Like, it's, you know.
Yeah, that actually, imagine how high his OPS would have been if he would have hustled out the box.
Mm.
What about worst player?
Oh, that's tough.
I've been disappointed in Yuli. I'll say that. Coming off the batting champ.
Yeah, I think, Sean, you got the right answer. And I know in the Twitch comment, because some people got mad at me for saying that, like, if you're fat, you can't call someone soft or glass, which I still stand by.
I actually don't disagree with you.
Yeah, like, yeah, come on. At least be in shape if you're going to, like, have the stones to do that. Or just don't do it either. Because no one has any control over whether or not they get injured. For the most part. But I would say, yeah, with Yuli is somebody who went on a diet apparently this offseason. And I think there's a lot of people who think that, hey, if you decide to alter your body when you have played at an extremely high level, even if you're 37 years old, that can have some detrimental effects. And, you know, you want to point to someone on the Houston Texans who did that. I remember Dwayne Brown came into one season in the best shape of his life, at least per him. He was svelte, I think he described it as, and he played poorly. Like, he wasn't as good as he had been before. Sometimes the weight that you've always played at is the best way to go. I give a lot of credit to guys who can transform their bodies and play differently, and Yuli does deserve a lot of credit for putting effort into this offseason or just not eating pizza and drinking soda. But, yeah, he's been off to a slow start, that's for sure. At least the defense has been good.
Again, when you talk about the sliding scale of it, it's all about where he was at. He's probably worst, maybe harsh, but let's call it most disappointing.
I don't think he's the worst player on the Astros.
But
I think
most disappointing is definitely Yuli. Hmm. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we put a bow on a fun week. Talk a little bit more about the Astros and our Garbage Time segment.
ESPN 97.5. Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Happy birthday to you.
Cool.
Jose Altuve, guys, 32 years old today. Happy birthday, Tuve.
Marilyn Monroe-esque.
Yeah, happy birthday, Mr. President.
Happy birthday, Mr. President.
Our short king,
Is that why
Jose
she got killed?
Jose Carlos Altuve.
Have you watched that documentary yet?
Which one?
There's one that came out. It's about like Marilyn Monroe.
No, but I want to watch it because I do. I put the tinfoil hat on. She knew a lot that she shouldn't
right?
know because she was banging and swinging some of the different presidents.
Seriously.
And the way her body was found and the amount of drugs and
how it was ingested. Overdose? Come on.
It's how the CIA or the Secret Service would have someone OD.
Allegedly. But they would never do that because our government is good. Good government.
Yeah. One of the Kennedys had like a 16-year-old girl at the bottom of the pond, right? There was like...
Chappaquiddick.
Yeah. Yeah. Never forget. Yeah.
A lot of people in Boston.
That one's not even a conspiracy theory.
No, it just happened.
It's just a fact.
And America was like, eh.
It's so weird. Anyway, I don't want to get too far into the political
Marilyn
weeds.
Marilyn Monroe, but yes, it wraps back around to happy birthday, Jose Altuve. He's been a big part of the Astros
franchise. Sorry, that's my fault. I
just
took
like
down
Marilyn
that
Monroe
hole.
Was a big part of the presidency and politics in America.
She was a big part of politics,
She
all
was
right.
a big part of politics. The original influencer, you could say. Marilyn Monroe and Jose Altuve, two peas in a pod when I think of Marilyn
Monroe. No, Jose Altuve is a good man. We all like Altuve. His name's been dragged through the mud so much over the last couple of years. He's a tremendously sweet person based off of interactions that
I've had. He's incredibly nice.
In the very few, but the few interactions I've had, the guy's really a nice guy. So, yeah, I hated being in Seattle and seeing all these people dumping on him. And I'm like, he's actually like a really nice guy. And this idea that he was this awful cheater when some people were even saying like, no, Altuve was very adamant that he hated hearing the trash can banging. Yeah, I don't know.
He's also the one player that the entire clubhouse was like, yeah, that was the one guy that was really against it low key. So I think that people just dumped on him because he is what they say, what they think is an easy target because he's really nice and quiet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Reggie Wayne, now the wide receivers coach in Indianapolis, compared Matt Ryan to Peyton Manning in a Twitter clip that has now gone viral.
Oh boy.
He said, quote, man, he makes me, talking about Matt Ryan, he makes me almost want to throw up because he reminds me of Peyton Manning so much. He's the epitome of a leader. The meetings, he's vocal. He's trying to get the connection with the receivers, trying to get as much extra as possible. I don't know how he was last year, but this year, man, he's a vocal leader. He's going out grinding with them, etc. I read this once I heard the full quote as more of him meaning that the leadership of Matt Ryan with the rookies and all of that reminded him of Peyton Manning. But the beginning where he said he reminds me so much of Peyton Manning, it makes me want to throw up. Eh, obviously questionable.
Also, he reminds me so much of Peyton Manning, I want to throw up is something I expect Paul to say,
yeah.
Not Reggie Wayne.
Yeah. Is he reminded of nearly headless Peyton Manning, you know, back in 2011, too? Because it could be that one.
Never forget.
The one who didn't have a neck.
Matty Ice, we will see how it shakes out. And it
could
is time.
Could have moved his forehead down there. What?
For garbage time.
Garbage. Garbage.
Uh-huh. Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
Ah, I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Where do we want to start in garbage time, Vanessa?
Something involving politicians and porn.
Oh, yeah.
Marilyn Monroe.
Well, first off, I just want to say this before I sneeze. Can I hold the sneeze off?
I don't know. I have a...
No. The answer was no.
Aggressive.
Anyway.
That's aggressive.
That just came out of nowhere.
Not even close to holding it.
Nope. I tried so hard, got so far. In the end, it did not really matter. So I don't know how many of y'all have ever watched British court or Canadian court, but it's just way cooler than the way that we do it. Because they're on two sides of an aisle, and some of them wear, like, wigs and stuff. It's just weird. But they're, you know, they're two countries that were linked together for a really long period of time. But a British Parliament member admits he watched porn during a vote. But he said it was an accident because he was actually trying to look at tractors the first time. But the second time he was looking at porn, he was trying to look at porn, and he has since been taken out of the British Congress.
Parliament, it happens.
My bad. Figured it out.
It happens. It really does. It happens.
I'm sorry. I just don't know how. You got it. Listen, for anyone who perhaps watches art such as that, do it on a device that's, one, not your work computer.
Yeah, I don't get that.
And two, not your phone. But if you have to do it on your phone, then delete your history, delete your tabs, don't be the person that was like, oh, yeah. And then all of a sudden you pull up your internet and next thing you know, there's Pornhub right
yeah,
there.
I wouldn't know because I'm too busy at my softball games. Meanwhile, a Austin hot dog vendor was brutally beaten by two men beefing over beef prices. Jeremy Delgado, 21, and Bobby Wynn, 19. You guys are in some trouble. Second degree felony assault because they attacked the vendor. They were arguing with the vendor about the $6 price of hot dogs.
And now that's ridiculous.
Before they punched and kicked the vendor several times.
This took place in Austin. A $6 hot dog is
outrageous.
But that's
outrageous. Austin, baby. It's inflation. The housing market's hot. All the libs want to move to Austin.
Yeah, was it an impossible hot dog?
God.
Was it vegan in any way? Then that explains the... That's paying for that.
Aggressive to be beaten over it, though.
But it's a $6 hot dog. I mean, like you go
$6
to,
hot dog is also aggressive.
Yeah. Costco hot dogs, still $1.50. You can get a hot dog at Costco for $1.50. And this jabroni's charging $6. Listen, I'm not endorsing beating the man within an inch of his life. I just think that those two had a point before they made it violent. $6 is out. Does it
have
come
you guys
with all
ever
the fixings?
Have you guys ever seen Father of the Bride with Steve
Martin? No, I've not, but I've heard of
it. The famous hot dog scene where he wants... There are six hot dogs, but it's eight hot dog buns, so he starts ripping because he's going crazy over the prices of his daughter's wedding. Starts ripping across the bags of hot dogs and saying, if they sell six hot dogs, they should sell six hot dog buns.
They should.
He kind of had a point,
yeah.
Is what you guys are saying.
Yeah. I mean, okay, this bun better be like a potato bun. It better be loaded with all of the fixins, like onions. It better be actually cooked well, not boiled, which I would imagine this... It seems like it's a street hot dog vendor. A street hot dog vendor, I'm assuming, is boiling this stuff. They're not grilling it. I want it grilled. I want it charred. I want onions. I want a really good bun that's been toasted with a little butter on it. And I want mustard. And I still would want it to be $4 or less.
You want a full meal.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, speaking of, we were just talking a couple segments ago about how athletes who change their bodies... Shaq has switched to plant-based cheeseburgers as his cheat meal. It's from a restaurant called The Slutty Vegan.
Wait, what?
Shaq says, quote, I'm a burger guy, so when I got to get that burger taste, when I go to look at a burger, I always come to Slutty Vegan.
I don't think there's any more comment that's necessary after that one. I kind of want to find Slutty Vegan. Sounds like a good restaurant.
But
that's a great name.
But we don't need Shaq going vegan.
Shaq endorses anything.
Yeah, he does.
Shaq endorsed the general, for God's sake.
That's what I was thinking. I was
could be an
waiting how long he's going to until he's going to be on my TV selling this stuff.
Icy Hot,
the Shaqaroni pizza.
Yeah. I mean, Shaq, to his credit, like I would sell all of those things probably too. Bengay's nice.
Meanwhile,
vegan.
Mattress Mac has been on a losing streak since he cashed out on the Tampa Bay Bucks Super Bowl victory. It started with the Derby.
He's fine.
And then, of course, he lost the World Series, etc.
He has more than Elon Musk.
He will be
I'm
back
convinced.
On it this weekend, tomorrow, actually, at the Kentucky Derby. He said via the Las Vegas Review Journal, quote, I'll be betting probably between $2.5 million to $3 million on the favorite.
See, you're roasting Shaq for advertisements, and you're just saying, like, yep, Mattress Mac, richest man alive. He is a legend, though.
He is a legend.
I want you to meet him so badly.
Oh, I met him. It was me, him, and two of the nuns that threw out the first pitch before the World Series.
Oh, wow.
And then one of the nuns actually gave me a rosary. I'm not Catholic, but she gave me a rosary and had a priest do the blessing. And
you didn't spontaneously combust as not a Catholic? Wow.
She, even though I'm not Catholic, I was like, yes, I accept the blessing. And so the priest, it's a priest, right?
Yes.
Came over and did the Father, Son, Holy Spirit and gave me a rosary, which I still have. It was a very nice gesture.
And you're blessed. So
I'm
blessed.
I am now officially #blessed by the Catholic Church. And it was at the Astros World Series. So I got blessed by a priest at the World Series.
We should have blessed the Astros instead. Help them win the World Series.
All right, that's been another week of Vanessa and Galog. Thank you to you guys
this
for interacting.
Blessing.
Thank you to our producer, Sean Mapes. You got Joel Blank and Jeremy Brandon, the Killer Bees from 12 to 3 coming up on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Peace.
ESPN 97.5.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits, Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
When you choose LG, you're not just getting a TV. You're getting more of everything you love. More entertainment, more innovation, more control. LG TVs are built to do more. With OLED and QNED displays that deliver breathtaking color and contrast. Smart AI-powered features that make streaming, gaming, and searching effortless. And ultra-slim designs that turn your screen into a statement piece. It's performance you can see, technology you can feel, and reliability you can trust. Get more out of every moment at home with LG.